Well, good evening. I hope you're all doing well tonight. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ. I am finding victory over alcoholism, and my name is Jack.
Hey, Jack.
Hey there. Well, hopefully you all had a great Easter weekend. I love Easter. And one of the reasons I love Easter is because it's still a surreal feeling how much I love this time of year, because for 45 or so years, I mocked Christians who celebrated when some guy goes to his death on a cross. I thought, how freaky and sick is that? And then 3 days later, they throw a party because supposedly he's come back to life. Like that could happen. And I think back to those days, and I just, it's amazing. It's just a surreal feeling now to be, it's probably my favorite holiday. It is my favorite holiday, my favorite time of year. And, you know, when we look at what he did on Friday, dying on the cross and taking the penalty of sin, removing the penalty of sin from my life forever, that's pretty cool. And then Resurrection Sunday comes back and leaves us a helper in the Holy Spirit to fight the power of sin in our lives every single day. So the penalty of sin knocked out forever. The power of sin, we got a helper. What more could you ask for? That's awesome. So, and because of what he did on the cross Friday, what he did Sunday with his resurrection, those things in my life, on Monday, I celebrated 4 years of sobriety. So I'm thinking, I'm going to chalk that up to a banner weekend. I don't know about you. So tonight's teaching is on amends. I think it's lesson 16, amends, and so we're gonna dive right in. We've got our guiding principle, principle 6, which will pop up on the screen here. Evaluate all my relationships, offer forgiveness to those who have hurt me, and make amends for harm I've done to others, except when to do so would harm them or others. And the scripture that we have with that are, happy are the merciful, Matthew 5, 7, and happy are the peacemakers, Matthew 5, 9. The step in the 12 steps that amends falls in, step 8. We made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. And scripture with that, Luke 6:31, do to others as you would have them do to you. Some of you know that I travel a fair amount for my job. And even though it's all in the state of Oregon, it's all over the state of Oregon. And last week I was out in Baker City. And I stay at a Best Western out there. And I've stayed there many, many times over the last 15 years. And it's one of these where there's four or five buildings around this kind of central area. There's a pool in the middle and a barbecue area and a picnic area and I think a play structure, something like that. And so you walk on these various crisscrossing sidewalks either to get to the pool or get to the building your room is in, that kind of thing. And as I'm walking from the office to my room, I'm noticing on the sidewalk all of these highlighted, you know, red, bright yellow spray-painted areas of the sidewalk. And there were all these cracks in the sidewalk, and they've spray-painted them, or the sidewalk is buckled up or sunken down, and they've just identified them, basically saying, if you trip, it's your fault, don't sue us, neener, neener, you know, kind of thing. So they've identified the cracks for us. And I got to thinking about how that plays into my recovery and kind of where we are in the teaching and the recovery process as we're kind of going through this. And I'm likening the identifying the cracks as my inventory. That's where I spray-painted all my cracks, and maybe you did too. All the character defects out there. But if we just stop there, we're not really moving forward in our recovery. And I will tell you this, unfortunately, in the 15 or so years I've stayed at the Best Western in Baker, the spray-painted cracks have been there and are still there. And there's probably a few more that are there each year. And that may be, that's kind of like my recovery as well, as I keep getting cracks in my sidewalk. And so I need to identify those. So amends is an action step, where we're not just going to settle for identifying the cracks in our sidewalk. We're not just going to settle for saying, yep, I identified the character defects and move on. We're going to begin to start doing something about it. So let's get into the amends acrostic. The A stands for admit the hurt and the harm. And you might be saying, well, didn't we do that in the inventory? Why are we going back to that? That was painful enough. I don't want to go back to that. And that's exactly why we're going back to that. You know, if we look at where we started the teaching back in September, I think it was September 7th, Mike taught on denial, getting us out of the darkness, because the darkness is where the enemy is. So I look at denial equals darkness equals enemy. So by admitting the hurt and the harm, we are bringing that back into the light. We're not, because we can't stop the enemy from trying. That is his job. He will try every time in my life, every day in my life, to drag me back into the darkness, because that's where he likes it. That's where it's nice. By admitting the hurt, the harm, I am bringing that into the light, keeping it in the light. In the light is truth and freedom and Jesus. And we can defeat the enemy at that point in time. So I look at, as we look at, let's say, the serenity prayer, and we talk about, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. I can't change the fact the enemy is going to try every single day to drag me, to cajole me, to bribe me, to push me, to pull me, whatever, into the darkness. Can't change that. But the courage to change the things I can comes in things like this first part of the acrostic. I can admit the hurt. I can admit the harm. I can bring it into the light. I can then walk with Jesus and defeat the enemy that way. So we start by kind of a revisitation, or just making sure we're clear about the fact that we need to constantly be in our, and always be working in the light. Making amends takes courage. The M stands for make a list. And scripture we have with that, I believe, is Luke 6:31. Yes. Treat others as you want to treat them. So we revisit that. Make a list. And once again, you might say, well, wait a minute. Didn't we do that in amends? Yeah, you probably did. You probably have a bunch of people and a bunch of things already. So as I said, you spray painted the cracks, but we're not done. So we're going to take your inventory, and we're going to turn it into an action plan with amends. All right? It's time to start doing something about the cracks. Okay, that's the idea here. Now, I'm a kind of a visual guy, so what I had to do for me, and you might try this, or maybe you've done this, I had to take my inventory and kind of break it into like four lists. So I had to take the people that I had. Oh, I'm sorry, to take the people that had hurt me, and I had to put them in a column. And then I had to list out the folks that I had done harm to, and it was at that point my list got a lot bigger and more pages. Then I had a third column, which I labeled NA, not applicable. To do an amend would be harmful. Perhaps I couldn't do an amend. They had passed away. And perhaps even in this world of social media, which I don't participate in, of Face, Twit, and Insta, whatever, I can't find them. Can't make the mend to them directly, so they go in the NA column. But I need to acknowledge that were I to bump into them, or were the situation to arise, I would owe them an amend. And then I had a column called indirect amends. And I'm not making a direct amend to an individual. So in my case, here's an example for me. One of a job I had in the past, we would partner from time to time with various charitable organizations, United Way or Food Bank or something like that. And I, one year, was in charge of a couple of fundraisers for this, so like a taco feed and a 50-50 raffle, you know, one of those type of things. And so in my alcoholic wisdom, I determined that the hard work I was doing deserved some compensation, and they didn't really need all of the money that we raised, did they? I mean, come on. I was doing some work here. And liquor's expensive. And if you want the best from me, I need to be sedated. And so I skimmed, is the nice way to put it. I stole from them. Well, there was no one individual. But an indirect amend was me writing a check to them with some little bit of interest that I factored in down the road. Okay, so you may have just one big list, but you're going to make a list. These are the folks that we're going to be, if it's harming you, offering forgiveness and grace, and we have lessons talking about that in subsequent weeks. Mine fell heavily into harm I did to others. I say that was the big part. You're going to want to take this list and run it by your sponsor. If you don't have a sponsor, you want to get a sponsor, and then you want to run it by that sponsor that you've just gotten. They're going to be able to give a fresh set of eyes to it. See, I'm inclined to put everybody in the I don't need to give them amends column, and see my sponsor's there to kind of help me with, no, maybe you probably should, you know, kind of thing. I want to rationalize, justify. My sponsor was the one that put the idea of indirect amends. I had not even considered something like that, and he suggested as a way. One thing is we're doing internal work here. So run that by your sponsor. And finally, I would suggest, and this is, of course, figuratively, but I would suggest you go out and get yourself a couple more cans of spray paint, because this is an ongoing process. And you're going to need a stash so that you can identify the cracks that will inevitably come into our human lives. The idea is to make daily amends. Daily inventory, daily list, daily amends. Okay, that's what we're shooting for. So it's not just this, I do this and I'm done. Woo, sweet. Anybody that's got any length of time in here knows that this is a process that works best when we work it often. And so get yourself some spray paint. The E is for encourage one another. So Hebrews 6:35, I think that's what's coming up. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. And the Bible, of course, is filled with encouragement. I want to share a couple of other verses with you. 1 Thessalonians, say that five times fast, 5:11. Encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are already doing. And that to me speaks to my heart with this group. Every week someone is encouraging me out of this group. Already doing that. Please continue to do that, not just for me, but for everybody. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion. So appropriateness enters in here. That it may give grace to those who hear. And so when we look at how the Bible talks about encouragement, it's a little bit more than just some nice words or an attaboy or a, you know, go for it, you can do it. Biblical encouragement is deeper. And that's what I see going on, the type of encouragement I see here at Celebrate Recovery is that biblical encouragement. Here's a fun fact, your fun fact for the night. The Greek word for encouragement, which is palakaleo, is used 105 times, you know, to count plus or minus in the New Testament alone. So encourage, and that's quite a bit. I mean, that's up there with love and peace and that type of stuff. So encouragement is obviously important to God, if it's used that much. I also came across, I looked at the dictionary definition of encouragement. It didn't really quite fit what I was trying to convey with biblical encouragement, the type of encouragement I like to go deeper. Found a woman who had a definition I thought fit well. She said, people who biblically encourage others say with love what a person needs to hear, when they need to hear it, so kind of that as the occasion arises we talked about in Ephesians, even if it isn't what the person wants to hear. What they need to hear, when they need to hear it, even if they don't want to hear it. So biblical encouragement is going to have truth. It's going to have love, and it's going to have wisdom. And so as you encourage one another, please go deeper if you're not, or stay deep if you are with that. The N in amends. Not for them. And for me, this is really the meat of amends. Not for them. Scripture, love your enemies and do good to them. Lend and expect nothing back, Luke 6:35. So it's all about you. It's all about me. It's not about them. And I love if it's all about me. I'd love it to be all about me all the time. In fact, some people in my life think it is all about me all the time. Then as I dug deeper into this, I realized it's all about me. Oh, me, me. Me, selfish me. Me, narcissistic me. Prideful, broken me. And I said, well, shoot, this is not any fun anymore. I don't know if I want to do this. But this is not for them. This is for you. Totally. It is making amends is not about fixing. It's not about rationalizing. It's not about assigning blame. It's not about getting even, getting an apology. It's not even about making everything all right. It is about the restoration of your heart, the restoration of your soul. Now, side effects may be making things right, receiving an apology, you know, that type of thing. But that's not what we're going for here. We're going for the restoration of our hearts and our souls back to the way that God created them. So true restoration. It is about being willing, once again, not for them, it is about you being willing to make amends and being obedient to the amends process. Willing, Okay, I can kind of go there. Obedient, ooh, that's a tough one for me. Obedient, submit, surrender. Of course, that's why I drank for so many years. Being obedient to the amends process. And then leaving the results to God. That's the thing. You're going to be willing to make amends. You're going to be obedient to the amends process, but you're not going to be the control freak. You're going to let God handle the results. As we say, trusting that He will make all things right if we surrender to His will. So it's not about them. That takes us to D, timing, as we kind of talked about a little bit earlier with that Hebrews quote. Do it at the right time. And our scripture is from Philippians 2:4. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. So it's not that we're not, it's not that we're just self-focused when we say not about them, okay? We do need to take into consideration that we work in a community where we're making amends with others. So we're going to be when I look at do it at the right time, I break that down into kind of two major areas. One, the appropriate time, and another, the correct time, or what I'll call one day at a time. So let me just kind of unpack, as a popular term these days, those two. Appropriate time, that's pretty basic, I think, at initial glance. In other words, we are not, as a husband, I'm not going to make amends for the pain of childbirth while my wife is in labor and delivery. Okay, we're not going to do that. Not appropriate. I'm not going to make amends for not putting the battery in the smoke detector as I'm standing on the front lawn waiting for the fire department to come. These are not appropriate times. So I think we can kind of get the glaring ones of what's not the appropriate time. But those are kind of few and far between, or that's the exception, not the rule. You're going to have many, many interactions, many, many opportunities with the people on your lists to make amends. So how do you know when it's the appropriate time? Well, you need to be constantly focused on that. You need to be vigilant. You need to be looking for all opportunities. You need to be going into each interaction with somebody on your list thinking, could this be an appropriate time? Therefore, you can then make an assessment. It might be blatantly obvious. No. Okay, but it might be, this could. This might work. Let's see how that goes. You need to pray about this. God will give you a lot of information if you pray and then follow. Pray and then listen. In my step study group, I coined the phrase to go with this, you need to pray attention to God, okay? So pray attention. So pray and then don't just ignore it. Because God will give me many, many signs at times and I know I'm ignoring. I know He's putting these things in my life. He's putting these opportunities. And I'm going to go, no, that's not a good time. He's going to go, sure it is. So pray attention. Correct time. As opposed to appropriate time, or one day at a time. What do I mean by that? I mean, do it as soon as you can. Many of us, as we made our first amends list, I know with mine, I had to make amends for things I had done decades ago. So here's my goal. My goal is to never have to make amends ever, because I'm perfect, you see? Never do anything wrong. Okay, so that's not going too well for me. So to back off of perfection, I look at if I can shorten the time between what I've done, let's say I'll call the infraction and making the amends, then I think I'm moving in the right direction in the amends process. So the correct time for me is as soon as I possibly can. Let me share a story with you, how that played out in my life here recently. Some of you know that I suffer from TDD. For those of you not medically inclined, that stands for teen daughter disorder. I have two of them. And teen daughter disorder, and by the way, I asked my 16-year-old if I could share this story, and she gave me permission. This usually manifests itself with my older one in the form of an argument, a disagreement. You see, God in His infinite wisdom and humor decided to make her exactly like me, practically, which is a hoot and horrible at the same time. And so we're both passionate, and we're both always right, and we both have views on every single thing, and we both differ on a lot of those views. And so dinner time conversation around our house, she sits right across from me, that's good, oftentimes will end in tears and her storming off to her room. And this happened a month or so ago. And I just didn't like the dynamic we were engaged in here, and what I really didn't like is the way that I said things to her. And I needed to make an amend. I sat down on the couch and I started to pray. And God put on my heart, for some reason, the fact that she and her friends like to go to Sherry's Cafe and Pie. Not so much for the cafe, but they love the pie. And I walked down the hall and knocked on the door and was granted admission. And I said, hey, how about some pie? How about we go get some pie? And so you can imagine the look that I got, tears still, that type of thing going on. And she said something to the effect of, what are you, crazy? I think I hate you. And it wasn't exactly that, but it was kind of in that vein. So I, you know, took the hint and closed the door, went back to the couch, thinking maybe I had not paid attention hard enough, and went back into prayer. About 30 seconds later, she comes out, she's got her coat on, she's still doing, okay, let's go get pie. So we went to Sherry's, and I had a chance to make amends that evening there and talk to her about how I was not happy with the way I said things, that we're going to differ in opinion, but it in no way affects my love for her. And our relationship is far more important than who gets to use what bathroom or whatever it is we were talking about that night. And I'm telling you, making amends with a slice of pecan pie and a little bit of ice cream is sweet. So, appropriate time and correct time. Finally, that takes us to S, start living the promises of recovery. Scripture, Romans 12:18, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live in peace with everyone. So what are the promises of recovery? Well, I think there's quite a few. Things like freedom from shame, setting appropriate boundaries or healthy boundaries, gratitude, serenity, and of course, a very nice looking sidewalk if you do this thing, okay? But I think there are some bigger promises. And as I started reflecting back on the Easter weekend, started reflecting on Jesus' work on the cross, not only did he take the penalty of sin, but he restored our relationship to the Father, the right relationship, the created relationship in that act, restoration. And the resurrection, coming back to life, to me signifies me when I was reborn as a Christian, that old me. And so I think the way I see it, the bigger promises of recovery are restoration and resurrection. Restoration of our minds, of our bodies, and most importantly, our hearts and our souls. Once again, restored back to the person that God created, not what we worked ourselves into with our free will. As I said, making amends takes courage. And so I ask, you know, do you have it in you? Do you have the courage to change the things you can? Do you have the courage to walk in the light, in the truth, with Jesus by your side? Do you have the courage to submit to the amends process and to actually begin making your amends? Do you have the courage to start living a restored and new life? You know, this is hard work. This is big stuff, though. This is kingdom stuff. For me and for you, and I tend to forget this sometimes, eternity started when I became a believer. It's not something I'm waiting for. This is big stuff we're doing, and it's hard, but I think it's worth it. And so I encourage you to change the things you can, to sit down, bring yourself into the light, admit the hurt, the harm, get that down on paper, get a list so you're ready to go, get that list kind of committed to memory so that you, as you come across those opportunities to make amends, you're ready, you know that. Continue to encourage one another, biblically encourage one another, deeper with that. Always making sure that you realize that it's not about them. You don't control the outcome. You make the amend because it's restoring your heart and your soul. You leave the results to God. So I ask again, do you have the courage? Thanks so much, and God bless you.